Yeah, a lot of anticipation for tonight's game in downtown Phoenix. Jazz coming to town for their first visit of the year. Here to give us the Utah perspective, their play-by-play radio voice on their radio network, David Locke, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. David, thanks for making some time for us today. We appreciate it.
No problem. I'm really just a believer in Ryan Hatch, your big boss, and so, you know, if I can have him be happy with me in my life,
nice.
Happy,
so well, good. Yes.
These are also the thing that's high on our list of priorities too. Yeah, make Ryan Hatch happy with us.
It's probably a good strategy for all of us.
It might be more important for you than it is for us.
It might be.
All right. How is this matchup tonight playing in Salt Lake City? Does it feel like a big basketball game there?
Yes. No, certainly. I think people are fired up. I mean, it's weird, right? Where you don't have that same community vibe as you used to, where you go out to the coffee shop and everyone's walking up and saying hi. So you don't have that, right? None of us do right now have that same kind of energy in a community that we've once had that sports and only sports bring. But I think that it's certainly a huge game. We're in a three-game stretch, similar to you, of where we're playing Dallas, Phoenix, and Portland in a three games in four nights, and you're doing I think Clippers and us in a two game back to back stretch. So these are just really important moments in this Western Conference race where the number one seed is wildly, wildly important this season.
We've been talking recently, David, about the Suns. They continue to win games. If there's anything that could be, you know, construed as a negative about this team is how they close out games against teams that they should beat. Yet they find a way to do it on most nights. I know it's hard to pick out weaknesses or perceived weaknesses on a team that's 38-12, but what are some of those things that the Jazz battle game in, game out?
So, I mean, I've kind of had the approach, honestly, in this concept of like, wow, you know, and I would say the same thing to Phoenix Suns fans, like, you got to stop and really enjoy what both these two teams are doing. It's remarkable, right? Like, you know, we're all kind of have a tendency to do that. It's find the one thing that's wrong or find the negative. Like, you know, I think the bigger stories are, you know, all of our, what's really happened here is we have these veteran guards who are leading the way, but our young players have all gotten better, right? Devin's a way better player than he was a year ago watching your last four games. Donovan's way better than he was a year ago. Both of them are so young. I mean, what you're asking Devin and Donovan to do is to go compete, you know, against LeBron in his 16th year and Kawhi in his 9th and Paul George in his 9th. I mean, they're still such babies in this process. But I think that's probably the thing that's most difficult is that our stars, Rudy Gobert's in his, fifth year and DeAndre Ayton's in his 3rd, like our young stars are still so young. It's the same story. We've got these veteran guards that are leading, frankly. You know, Mike Conley has limited playoff success and Chris Paul has playoff skeletons that are pretty significant, you know, in his resume. So when I look at these two teams, I have a hard time trying to find the nitpicky negative. I mean, both these teams aren't great in transition defense, but like what they've both done this year is truly remarkable in a COVID stricken season where consistency has been the single most difficult thing for any team to do. These two teams have done it.
All right, when you look at the Jazz as the number one seed, do Jazz fans in Salt Lake City feel kind of off the national radar as Suns fans feel that it's always about the Lakers and the Clippers and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole league is holding on one story right now. It's like, when's LeBron coming back and where do the Lakers finish? And frankly, it is probably the biggest story of the Western Conference. You know, the second biggest story that's going on in the league right now is the MVP candidate, and that's got three Western Conference teams involved in it. And ironically enough, the two best teams in the West right now aren't involved in that, right? So you've got Jokic and Lillard and Doncic all being discussed for that MVP, and neither of us have guys that are being discussed in it. I actually think that that's appropriate. I'm not sure I think that Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker or Rudy Gobert or Chris Paul is really per se an MVP, because what has made both these teams so great is, you know, Dario Saric off the bench. That bench unit has been amazing. Jay Crowder's hot as heck right now and has added a level of physicality to your team. Mikal Bridges' growth is amazing. Joe Ingles is having the greatest shooting season in the history of the NBA, right? I mean, it's these other, Jordan Clarkson's been, you know, the leading scorer off the bench. It's actually these other pieces in compliment to the best players on our teams that have made these the two best teams in the West. So the two big stories, you're absolutely right, aren't going on. I also do feel that I'm, you know, I think the Jazz story got told a lot early in the year. We started hot. Everyone told, there's really not another story to tell. I kind of feel like the same thing happened with Phoenix. They got kind of the second wave of big stories. Everyone for about a 2 week period of time wrote the Phoenix story. You know, Eddie Johnson was on national podcast. Like but there's not a new, there's no new story to write about either of these two teams. So I'll kind of give the national media a pass. I don't think they're ignoring us, but there's nothing new to say. Like, we're both really, really good, and there's not much more to it.
David Locke, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Right around the deadline, there was a lot of anxiety among some Suns fans. Okay, they went and they got Torrey Craig, but there was some that were really clamoring for a bigger move, maybe to bolster the bench, bolster the backup five. And I know the Jazz made some under-the-radar moves with Ilyasova and getting Matt Thomas from Toronto, but were there a lot of Jazz fans clamoring for big change? I don't think that would be the case.
No, I don't think so, and I kind of feel the same way for the Suns. Like, you know, you've got a really nice balance going. Not to get too philosophical and deep with you guys and, like, go, you know, whatever, Chopek or whatever, but, like, I believe in the rightful order of the basketball universe. And so, like, the Boston Celtics are the best example of me. Like, their rightful order of the basketball universe has been awful for, like, three seasons, and they're disruptive. Like, Clippers last year had no rightful order of the basketball universe. Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell and Patrick Beverley were on that team before they added the stars, thought they were still the guys. They brought in the stars. They had no rightful order of the basketball universe.
Yeah.
Both Phoenix and Utah have complete understanding. Like, Chris Paul's going to have the ball in his hands. Devin Booker's going to take the shots. Ayton's going to get himself available. Bridges is going to defend. Crowder's going to shoot anytime he touches the ball. Clarkson are going to shoot anytime they touch the ball. And so you're going to end up, if you had to rebuild your entire team. The other thing, and I think this will be really interesting to watch, and I don't really know who's made major, you know, Aaron Gordon has stepped in seamlessly in Denver, and so it looks brilliant. We'll see about Vucevic in Chicago over time. I'm actually not entirely sure Wendell Carter doesn't help you win more than Vucevic, but that's a side note. But I was actually talking to a Jazz coach before the deadline. He's like, I don't know what we're going to do, but we have five practices scheduled for the rest of the year.
Wow.
And, like, it's true. Like, I don't know what I think your schedule is about the same as ours.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, our guys played Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, you're not practicing Friday. You're not practicing the day. Like, you're not practicing.
No. Yeah, the Suns are basically playing four games a week every week to the end of the season. So there's not
And the CBA says that the players have to get one day off. So that's five. And you're guaranteed to be flying on another one. That's six. You're not practicing.
Yeah. That's right.
It's true.
And this is going to be quite a gauntlet for teams to have to stay healthy for the postseason as well, which is going to be, you know, fingers crossed, probably in both of our markets. Here's something that I think is really interesting to me. Bringing up the pandemic, just about a year ago, the Rudy Gobert thing blew up, and then there were a lot of people who wondered whether Donovan Mitchell would ever take the floor with him as a teammate again. How did they get by all that, and not only get by all that, create this rocking great chemistry that they have now?
It's a good story. It's a good question because, I mean, the story, I think, was real. Both of them have kind of admitted to that. And at the same time, you know, the statement that it was unsalvageable was probably a bit much, right? Like, I think that author would probably like to pull back that word. The bubble is the answer. If the Jazz end up having, you know, the rest of this season in some magical way, and there's a story to be told about, oh my gosh, how did this team do it? The answer is actually the bubble. The bubble got them back together. Donovan and Rudy kind of evened things out, but when they got there and they got isolated and they got away from other people and they only had each other, right, in the bubble, they ping pong and beach volleyball at the pool, and the Jazz kind of got known as this, like, legendary ping pong team that was, like, had their brackets and matchups and set times and game times and fans, you know, like, they were their own fans arriving, and it became kind of a huge part of their culture in the bubble. And then I think, you know, the joint failure of losing a 3-1 lead to Denver, both these teams in some ways, it's yet another similarity, right? Without your 8-0 run in the bubble, which if you're really honest about it and go back and look, like, you didn't play a single team at full strength, but who cares? The narrative came out of it that the Suns are for real. They went from being, what, about 15 games below 500 to only 7 games below 500, and you got Chris Paul to come because of it. Yeah. And so I think both these teams kind of rebuilt their franchises in some funky way in that weird atmosphere in Orlando.
Yeah. David, great stuff. Thanks for carving out some time for us today. Have a good call of the game tonight.